And I want us to look in the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter number 5. If you'll turn with me, please, in your Bibles. To 2 Corinthians in chapter 5. I want to read some very familiar verses in your hearing here this morning. My granddaddy used to say that all Scripture should be familiar Scripture if we read our Bibles the way we should. But this is some of the more familiar Scripture in the Word of the Lord. And I want us to take our text here in verse number 17. I've quoted this verse of Scripture probably 7 million times, maybe more, but I don't know for sure if I've ever taken our text in this verse of Scripture for the entirety of the message. But that's what the Lord has laid on our hearts for this morning's meeting, and I hope it'll be a help and a blessing to you. If you found your place, and if you are able and willing, I would invite you to stand with us, and we'll reverence the reading of the Word of the Lord. Thank God for the songs of Zion this morning. We're so appreciative of them and grateful for what the Lord gave us in these songs. We were singing that I went down a beggar and I came up a millionaire. And I thought about that mansion that the Lord has prepared for us. I was listening to a preacher on yesterday, and he may still be alive. I don't know for sure if he is or not, but if he is, he's really, really an old man at this point. He was talking about how that this was back in the 80s. He was talking about how that some of the local, as he put it, one of the local cults had sent one of their leaders down there to his office to straighten him out. And he said, I told him, come on, be glad to see him. I'm glad to talk to anybody about God's church and the Bible. And he said they sat down there in the church office for a little bit and began to talk. And he said, that fellow told me some strange things. But he said, when he began to tell me that God was in heaven with his wife, living in an apartment up there, he said, man, I sure am glad I'm saved. He said, that's all I know. All I know how to say is I'm glad I am saved. I'm glad I got a God that is bigger than all of those kind of foolish things. I'm thankful he gave me a mansion. And I am rich not in the things of this world, but he said to lay up treasures in heaven where moth and rust doth not corrupt, and where thieves cannot break through and steal. And it's great to be saved by the grace of God this morning. 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, the word of the Lord says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Notice that verse did not say old things have passed away. Old things are passed away. That is, presently, not only have they passed away, but they are still passed away. And they are passing away as I live in Christ and He's renewing me every day. Behold, all things are become new. Daily He renews me. Though this outward man perishes, the inward man is renewed day by day, the Scripture says. Verse number 18 tells us what those things are that are made new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. I want to preach if the Lord will be my helper for a few moments this morning on this thought. Jesus changes things. Jesus changes things. The Scripture said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is. Not if some people are saved, some of them oftentimes are. No, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Jesus changes things. You can be seated this morning. Thank you for standing with us while we read the Word of the Lord. Everything Jesus ever touched has become eternally, fundamentally, holistically, and undeniably changed. It is impossible to encounter God's Son and remain the same. Everything, every creature, every place, every person that Jesus ever touched was changed. In this portion of Scripture, the Apostle Paul tells us how that Jesus creates anew. Everything of the old man gone and everything of the new creature is of God. He makes a man who is all out of sorts with God and takes him and reconciles him unto the Father as a holy new person, a new creature. He creates in him a new man. To put it in simple terms, when Jesus shows up, He changes things. He changes everything when Jesus shows up. As I was studying this portion of Scripture yesterday, the voice kept echoing in my mind of evangelist Lester Roloff. He would come on every one of his broadcasts singing that same song. And it was all about when Jesus comes, how that the Lord changes things. I can't do it like Brother Lester Roloff did, but what a song. And I could hear his voice echoing in my mind. One sat along beside the highway begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes, the tempter's fire is broken. When Jesus comes, the tears are wiped away. He takes the gloom and fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay. From home and friends, the evil spirits drove him. Among the tombs, he dwelt in misery. He cut himself as demon powers possessed him. Then Jesus came and set the captive free. Unclean, unclean, the leper cried in torment. The deaf, the dumb, in helplessness stood near. The fever raged, disease had gripped its victim. Then Jesus came and cast out every fear. Their hearts were sad as in the tomb they laid him. For death had come and taken him away. Their night was dark and bitter tears were falling. Then Jesus came and night was turned to day. So men today have found this Savior able. They could not conquer passion, lust, and sin. Their broken hearts had left them sad and lonely. Then Jesus came and dwelt Himself within. When Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, the tears are wiped away. He takes the gloom and fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay. You see, Jesus changes things. And everything in life is different when the Lord is on the scene. I don't know if you ever thought about it this way, but it's literally not just every person, but it is everything. Every town Jesus ever showed up in changed. Every home that He ever made Himself known to changed. Everything that He ever touched changed. Every drop of water in the sea, every wind that blew in the air, everything that ever encountered Jesus was always changed. Jesus changed the animals He came in contact with. I mean, just one particularly comes to mind in Mark chapter number 11 and verses 1 through 9. A young colt, the Bible says, was tied at a place where two ways met. And the disciples, Jesus sent them after Him and said, to loose him and bring him unto me. And if anybody asks you what you're doing, you tell them, the Master has need of him. They did so. They brought him unto Jesus. And the Lord cast His garments on him and rode him through town in the city of Jerusalem. A wild young colt of an ass that had never been ridden or broken. But when Jesus showed up, He changed. He tamed his wild streak. He trained him to carry the Master. He lifted up Jesus everywhere He went. Does anybody think this sort of sounds like saved people, that the Lord has brought out of their sin, tamed the wild streak, trained them to carry the Master, lift up Jesus everywhere you go, and He carried the Lord to the greatest worship service ever held in the city of Jerusalem. Jesus changes things.
Not only did Jesus change the animals, but Jesus changed trees. The Bible said in Galatians 3:13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Not a person in Israel would have looked at an old wooden cross to see a thing of beauty. My friend, and not a person ever, but Jesus changed the tree forever. That, my friend, we have in our world, we'll have little jewels and necklaces, and somewhere probably in your home, you may have some decoration of some kind hanging on the wall with a cross, or maybe with the old dogwood leaves around the cross on the wall somewhere in your home. But praise the Lord, friend, that's because of the change Jesus made in the tree. Nobody in the land of Israel when Jesus was a little boy and when he was growing up would have had a necklace with a cross on it. How do you know more than what you'd have a necklace with a hangman's noose or an electric chair on it? But Jesus makes all the difference in the world. It was an ugly sign of death. It was an ugly sign of condemnation. It was an ugly sign of what would happen if you were to buck the system of Rome or to become an insurrectionist. You'd be crucified on that old tree. And listen, in itself, the cross is still not an emblem of beauty. But the reason why it's precious to us is because Jesus changes things. Jesus makes all the difference in the world. As the songwriter would say, oh, that old rugged cross, so despised by the world, has a wondrous attraction for me. For the dear Lamb of God left His glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. Him the old rugged cross, stained with blood, is so divine. A wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross. And to my friend, I'm telling you, Jesus changed the tree forever. And I bless the Lord that Jesus changed His things. Not only did He change the animals and He changed the tree, He changed a hole in the ground. Anybody ever thought about it, friend? I mean, a hole in the ground when it encounters Jesus is changed. Matthew 27:57, when evening was come, there was a rich man of Arimathea named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed. This had been a cave, a place of depression, a place of mourning, a place where a person expected to say goodbye forever and ever and lay a dead body down. But Jesus changed His things. Oh, thank God. My friend, this had been a place where dead bodies were laid, but Jesus made it a place where resurrected lives come out. And now we say, oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Thank God Jesus Christ gives us the victory. I was listening on the way here this morning to a previous church service, and in that meeting I was listening to the service, and in that meeting I had called out the names of about 10 people in that service that morning in just a 2 or 3 minute span, all of which have now already gone on to heaven. How we have gathered around one after another and one after the next, and sometimes even once, two at a time. And in weeks we have buried those that have, how that we have loved many of them all at the same time, it seemed like in a few days. But I'm telling you, friend, the grave is no longer a hole in the ground where we lose hope. How will we say goodbye forever? But because Jesus changed the saints, it is now a place of hope, and in sincere hope of the resurrection. And we look for a day when resurrected life comes out, and we will see them again, and I bless the Lord for that. Jesus makes all the difference in the world. When we sang this morning, when we sang where the soul will never die, I didn't say, oh, it sure was good years ago. The same Brother J.B., that was his favorite song. How we don't get to do that anymore. But instead, I thought about, praise God, it won't be long. I'll see him raising little hands toward heaven, and we'll praise the Lord together again. And my friend Jesus changed the whole of the ground to a place of hope for us, and a place of a faith and assurance. And now, my friend, that graveyard to me is not a place that haunts my thoughts or haunts my memories. But my friend, I look out there and think, oh, what a shout will rise across the vaulted skies when Jesus comes in the clouds. And my friend, I'm telling you, there's coming a day when we will see the result of Jesus changing a hole in the ground. Matter of fact, some of these days, there'll be a hole in the ground burst open, and the hole in the sky is going to be made. And we who are alive and remain shall go first. And my friend, the sky will not prevent them before I sleep, but they'll rise of Christ. And we're going to catch up with them and be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. I'm telling you, Jesus changes things. Everything's different when Jesus shows up. It was just a hole in the ground with a rock poured over it. It was a place where Joseph had no doubt expected either to lay someone he loved forever, or for his own body maybe to be put in the ground, never to come out again. But when Jesus lay in that grave, friend, because he came out, it changed the grave forever. And now all of those who we lay down in that grave, who know the Lord, we have confidence. And my friend, that Jesus became the first fruits from the dead. And as surely as Jesus was raised, they also will be raised. And they'll be laid down in mortality, raised immortal. And they'll be laid down in corruption, raised in incorruption. Be laid down and sown in dishonor, raised in honor. Oh, I'm telling you, Jesus changes a hole in the ground. Hallelujah. If Jesus can change an animal and a tree and a hole in the ground, he can change you and me. Amen. I'm telling you, Jesus changes things. Have you thought about how Jesus changes the altar? I mean, friend, how he changes the altar. I've been reading through the books of Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, verse by verse, word by word, chapter by chapter, studying these things one time after the next. The books of Exodus and Leviticus and Numbers tell about the offerings brought to the altar and how the throats were slit of these animals, their bodies there left to die. But the altar was still never satisfied. But Jesus changes things. Hallelujah. And when Jesus offered himself on the altar at the Holy of Holies in heaven, and Jesus satisfied the cravings of God, and his holiness at the altar, it is no longer a place where offerings are brought to die, but it's a place where people come to live. And Jesus has forever changed the altar. It's a place where we come to lay our burdens down. It's a place where we can come knowing that God has already provided forgiveness for our sins. And because Jesus changed the things, and now the altar is not about in a place where blood is shed, but it's a place where blood has been applied once and for all, and we can find help and find hope and find forgiveness and find solace. And my soul has been saved, my life has been restored, and my friend, my heavy head has been lifted up and encouraged. And my family has been sewn together. My children have been born again. My life has been sustained. My ministry has been secured. And that same altar is not a place of death, but a place of life. Because Jesus changes things. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful for it. Oh yeah, I'm glad I was saved in the old fashioned way. Thank God for the altar. That's where I got in. Woo! That old time my conviction revealed all my sin. I praise God for that King James Bible. It's still true today. Hallelujah. I was raised in the old-fashioned way. Praise God for mourners' beads. Praise the Lord for the people of God that helped me pray through. And it is dear to me. And Jesus is the one that made all of that happen. He changes things, friend. He makes all the difference in the world. Hallelujah. If you don't know what it is for Jesus to come into your life and to change you, you don't know what you're missing. I mean, you just don't know, friend. Everything, every place, everybody that has ever had an encounter with Jesus has been changed. If He can change an animal, He can change a tree, and He can change a hole in the ground, and He can change an altar, He can change you this morning. Hallelujah. Matter of fact, He will change you. Everybody who has ever encountered the Lord Jesus Christ has been changed. Jesus changes things. I want to say this morning, Jesus changes people. This is our text verse. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He didn't say some people really change when they meet Jesus. But He said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Did you know everybody that's ever been saved has changed? Everybody who has ever been saved is changed. Oh, my friend, listen. How about the last pope we had? How my friend, the one that got now is even worse. But the last pope they had, I went to Jerusalem, and there at the Wailing Wall, where so many, you know, of the Jews and many of other religions as well joined to pray and to weep and cry and think that by their much crying, by their much, by their many words, that they'll be heard possibly of the Lord. The Jews that are there are actually crying out to God to send the Messiah, thinking that the Messiah has not yet come. They wail aloud. They wounded themselves. Have they banged their heads against the wall, literally, praying for the Lord to send the Messiah. But I'm glad Jesus came. Glory to His name. What a friend is He. He's already sent the Messiah. Got news for Him. He's sending Him back too. Amen. But they weep and well at that place. Have the last pope that there was. Have before the one that is there now went to that Wailing Wall. And there he wrote something down as the Catholics would recognize him as the Vicar of God. That is the voice of the Pope. They recognize the voice of the Pope as the voice of God in this world. And if the Pope said it, it's just as true to them as it were if God said it. I knew for you. They've had a bunch of different popes. And they have said things contradicting one another. And God is not mixed up. And my friend, His voice is not the voice of God. But this is what he wrote. He wrote, conversion is not a necessity for salvation. And he left that in the Wailing Wall. Conversion is not a necessity for salvation. But I got news for you. One that far outranks the Pope said, except ye be converted. And become as, except you be converted, y'all hear that word? And become as little children, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of God. What I'm saying to you is, friend, everybody who's ever been saved is changed. And they are converted. They are different. Their lives are changed. If any man be in Christ, without exception, every person who's in Jesus, every person who's ever been born again. He is a new creature. That is, God has created him anew. He has a creation unto himself, a brand new man. It is, as it were, and the man that was before he met Jesus never existed. And he creates of us a brand new person. Praise God. And Jesus changes every man that encounters him.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I was listening back about, I don't know, it may have been 8 or 10 years ago. I was listening to a preacher giving an altar call from many years past. The altar's filled and people prayed. And the one particular woman standing there, little old bitty, a granny woman there, with a beehive, you know, wound up on top of her head, hair stacked up like that, all in bobby pins, setting it up. And the little old bitty gal standing there, and up in years, and her son was there with her, tatted up all over his hands and his arms and his face and his head, hair hanging down. You could tell he'd lived a rough life, you know. The scars of sin were on him and his face. But he had come to that altar with his little old mama with him, seeking after the Lord to be saved. And that preacher in the crowd opposed in that altar walked over to where that woman was, and he asked her, he said, "Ma'am, is this your son here?" As she said yes, through weeping eyes. As she looked up at that preacher and said yes. And that young man standing beside her, all in trouble. And he said, "Sir, what's your name?" Called his name. He's called, spoke back to him, mentioning his name. And he said, "Did you come to be saved this afternoon?" He nodded his head and said, "Yes, sir." Bowed his head and wept aloud. He said, "Mama, I got news for you. In about 5 minutes, you're going to have a brand new son." Woo! Oh, bless his name. Everybody who has ever met Jesus is changed. He's made us a brand new creature. And we are new in Christ Jesus. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God. And we are now reconciled unto Him. That is, to be made right with Him. To be reconciled is a legal term. To be brought into a right legal relationship with God. You see, when we were lost, we were out of God's will. We were out of a good relationship. We were wrong with God. How about then? We were enemies of the cross. But Jesus changed His things. And He has reconciled us unto God by Himself. And now I am made right. But the same God of whom I was an enemy before I ever got saved. Hallelujah. Oh, bless His name. And He has changed everything. He's changed everything. Hallelujah. Now, saved people are not perfected. My friend, they're just saved. And listen, because He saved my soul. Oh, bless His name. I'll never forget the day came. He saved my soul. And He is transforming and renewing my mind. But this old guy here, this carnal man, is at enmity with God. It is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can it be. This place I'm talking about. And so I'm not perfected yet. But I got news for you. He that hath begun a good work in me will perform it until the day of redemption. There will come a time when not only will my soul be saved, it's already saved, and my mind transformed. That's going on right now. By the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is a good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Romans 12:2. And then my body will also be redeemed. And I'll be changed from this vile body into His glorious body, and I'll be like my Lord. And the same Jesus that began the good work in here is going to perform it until the day of redemption. Praise God and the Lamb forevermore. He changes things. He changes things. Hallelujah. And I want to tell you something this morning. Every person who has been born again has been converted. They have been changed. They have been made anew. Listen, saved people are not perfect, but they are changed. Saved people are not perfect, but they are forgiven. If you are the same as what you've always been, then you are not, according to this Bible, you're not saved. If you're the same as what you've always been, and if there's never been a change in your life, then you've never been saved. If any man be in
Christ. He's a new creature. You say, well, I stumbled here and I said an ugly word when I dropped that thing on my foot. And I didn't do right. Whatever, my brother was ugly to me. That must mean I'm lost. That's not what I'm preaching at all. Saved people are not perfect. But they are changed. They are different. Oh, praise the Lord. It doesn't mean you'll never falter. You'll never fail. You'll never come short of the glory of God. It means you're different than what you used to be.
Yes.
One little woman said this way, said to her friends, told her, I said, now did you sin before you got saved? She said, why, sure I did. Hey, they said, have you sinned since you've been saved? She said, well, I'm ashamed to say, sure I have. Well, what is the difference? She said, well, before I got saved, I ran to sin. And since I've been saved, I run from sin. Amen. And the Bible didn't say if you sin, then you're not a legitimate son. He said, if you can sin, how did my friend not have chastisement? And then he said that you're not legitimate. You're not born again. And my friend, when you sin as a saved man, God will spank you. He will chastise you. He'll give you a whooping. Amen. That's exactly right. If you sin, get by with it, be pleased with it, be satisfied with it, love it. I mean, it's an indication you've never been saved. Saved people ought not to sin, but when we do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, the righteous, the Lord Jesus, and He never leaves us and He never forsakes us. And if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Anybody know what I'm preaching about? Hallelujah. Do any of you know what it is like to be scared when the thunder cloud? Before you got saved, and to be at peace while the wind blows, since you've been born again.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I mean, do you know what it's like to be afraid to go to sleep at night before you met the Lord? And now you can sleep at peace since you've been saved by the grace of God. Do you know what it's like to worry? How my friend, when you thought surely, I saw something on the news, you thought it's prophecy coming to pass. Jesus is coming any day now, and He is, friend. And it worries you. And now you see stuff like that happening on the news, and you say, even so come, Lord Jesus. Jesus changes saints. I used to watch that light on the bottom side of the cloud coming out of that airport in Mount Zion. Praise, scared to death. Jesus is coming. And now I'm not ready. Oh, but these days I see that light on those cloudy days in the bottom side of the cloud. My heart doth rejoice. Praise God. I give the Lord the glory because Jesus changes saints. If you've ever been saved, you're converted. You're changed, friend. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't mean just call somebody out and don't want to embarrass anybody. But little Caitlin would lots of times we'd have our prayers and things, and she's never been real outspoken. She never will probably be real outspoken. And some of these days there'll be some smart man somewhere or another that will really treasure that. She's not one that's going to talk his ear off, you know. And she's just never been that way. But we get into the time of our prayers and things and the Bible scriptures and such. And not only would she not be outspoken, but there were times when we'd have prayer and such, and maybe she would even lead in prayer. I don't know how many times she prayed for John at night, and she'd pray for others, and she'd pray for the church, and she'd pray for the missionaries, and she'd pray for folks that's sick, and then she'd pray for herself, and she'd say, Lord, and I need to be saved, and I want to be saved, and I'm praying You save me, but then she couldn't seem to get the victory, and lots of times at night, she didn't sleep well, she'd be up and down through the night, and all that kind of stuff, and that church service go on, and she couldn't get at peace, it wouldn't be at peace. And even the Sunday that the Lord saved little Julia, Caleb was so pleased for her and excited for her, and little Julia got saved, and John Daniel got saved, and Caleb come down and hugged their neck and cried with them, but she went home, and I could see it was burning her. That here they are, they're getting saved, and I haven't had my opportunity yet to come to know the Lord. And I pulled her up next to me in the kitchen up there that day, and I said, sweetheart, your day will come, and God's going to do right by you. He's going to save you. You just be obedient to what the Lord does, says when He deals with your heart. And that morning came when she came to the altar. Had been peace, had been business of the Lord, and God gave her peace. And she hung my neck and said, "Daddy, I know I'm saved, and I'm finally saved my soul. You don't have to worry about me anymore. And I'm sorry you had to wait so long." And Brother John, listen, she never had robbed a bank, and she never had shot anybody or, you know, committed some heinous crime of some sort. And she didn't have some of those things to overcome. Have a my friend, you say, what in the world could be different? I tell you one thing that's different. We have a Bible reading tonight, and she soaks it up like a sponge. It comes time to pray, and she's happy about praying for others. She can go to sleep with peace. She's comfortable and satisfied with the whole world because it's well with her soul. I've never seen such peace. I'm telling you, friend, Jesus changes things. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. And you don't know how many hundreds of times I prayed for that and sought after it and thought it never come. And asked the Lord to work in her life. And the old devil said, "It just ain't gonna happen." But praise God, Jesus changes things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm grateful for that. I praise the Lord. If you're saved, if you've ever been born again, Jesus changes people. He converts you, friend. Well, He changes people and makes you a brand new person. And the Bible says that we are in Christ, a new creature. All things pass away, all things become new. Jesus changes people internally, externally, and eternally. He changes men internally. For greater is He that is in me than He that is in the world. He changes men externally. For the God that dwells within produces fruit without in my life. And that's why Jesus came. And that you might be fruitful and that your fruit may abound, the Bible says. And He changes men eternally. Oh, praise God, for Ecclesiastes 3:14 says, "I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it or anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before Him." If you're saved, you are converted, you are changed.
Amen.
Let me warn you about something this morning. Not everybody that Jesus has had an encounter with is saved. Even if you encounter Christ and you refuse the only Lord Jesus and you walk away from the convicting power of the Holy Ghost, you too will be changed. You do not encounter Christ without being changed. He changes everything He comes in contact with. All will be changed. If you encounter Christ and do not receive Him by faith, it will still change you. Sadly, the Scripture tells us about the change being that of a deaf ear. The Bible said in Matthew 13:15, "For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes that they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and be converted, and I should heal them." They had the opportunity, but they refused Jesus. It deafened their ears that they may not hear the gospel. Become gospel hardened. Hear me this morning. When you hear the voice of the Lord and the gospel of the preaching of Jesus Christ, you'd be a star-craving fool to turn the Lord away and walk away from Him. You will harden your sense of hearing. And my friend, every time you reject the voice of God, His voice will become more faint and more difficult to receive. And today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time.
The rejection of Christ results in a hardness, a deaf ear, a darkened mind. 2 Corinthians 4:3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. How many cannot understand the gospel? Their minds are darkened. They cannot see why Jesus would love them and care for them, save them. They will not receive the truth of the gospel because they have had a deafened ear and a darkened mind, having been a dulled spirit. Romans 1:21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but they became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible men, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship this and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use of the bad which is against nature. And likewise also the men leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one to another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate man to do the things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, and malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents without understanding, covenant breakers without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only they that do the same, but they that have pleasure, and them that do them, and their spirits are so dulled, they don't even realize that they're under the judgment of God. They don't seek to get right. When you turn God away long enough, the same sun that melts the snow will harden the clay. And as surely as God, the Holy Ghost, has stirred your heart toward Him, if you turn Him away and refuse Him enough, friend, you will silence the voice of the Spirit of God in your own heart. Have a dulled spirit, darkened minds, deaf ears, and a distant feeling. A distant feeling. There are those that seems like that God to them is a million miles away. I don't know about you, but there are days to me it seems like He is so near. There are days He's nearer than others. But there are days when God seems so near. There are days when it seems like I can just reach out and touch Him. There are times when it seems like He's, and I know that He is only a prayer away. There are times when His presence is so real. It's more real than the pew you're sitting on. It's more real than the building we're gathered in this morning. I mean, the presence of the Holy Ghost is more real than the ground I stand on. I know that He's walking close by my side. And yet those that have turned God away repeatedly and again, they wonder if God is doing anything in the world. And where is He? And it seems like He's so distant and so far away. There's a danger in becoming gospel hardened. Ephesians 4:18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of the heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. It is a scary place to be. Where you have refused God so often that it does not even bother you that there's a God in heaven and there's an eternity you're going to have to face and a judgment you're going to have to answer to. And if that does not trouble you, you are in a bad position. Amen. I wouldn't trade places with you for every dollar on planet earth, friend. Amen. I mean, to be in a place where you weren't like, we're not even afraid of the judgment or afraid of God. They run about our land with those little stickers on the back of the car. No fear. That's what's wrong. No fear. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Have my friend, that's the start. That's where you begin. It was grace that taught my heart to fear, and then grace my fears relieved. Have we got to begin by fearing the Lord? We're living in a time and a day and age where people do not fear the judgment. I remember as a teenage preacher boy, the first time I ever saw news coverage of a pride parade. By the way, there's a reason they call it that. They're proud of their sin. They're proud of their abomination. They're unashamed of their wickedness. So they walk with mincing in their feet like Sodom. They declare their sin and hide it not. And that's what the Bible said about them in Isaiah chapter 1. And that is the day we are living in, mincing about with their feet. You ever notice these little twinkle-toed fellas, how they all walk funny like there's something wrong with them? Because there is something wrong with them. And they need the Lord. But so often they have rejected the Lord so long that now they can no longer receive Him. They have refused the Lord and silenced the voice of the Holy Spirit. And the reason why they call them pride parades is because they're proud of their sin. They declare it like Sodom and hide it not. It is an emblem of the judgment of God. It's what happens to man when God lets him do what he wants to, gets out of his way, and lets his sin run amok in his life. Have our friend, he becomes perverse. He becomes backwards. He becomes confused. He becomes in reverse order, and he knows not what a mess it really is. I remember seeing them the first time I ever saw such foolishness, news coverage of such idiocy. And at the time, they didn't have that idiotic stuff all across the country. Pride parades didn't happen in every city. It was sort of limited to San Francisco and Paris and New York. And now they're everywhere, friend. And they shake their fists in the face of God. And it's wicked and it's ungodly, and somebody needs to cry out, and my friend, against it and spare not. Amen. And I remember that day, one of those fellows who were in that crowd had a sign in his hand. Lots of them had signs. This one had a sign in his hand, raising it up. And it said on that sign, God knows what we are doing, and He does not care. And God knows what we're doing, and He does not care. I'm telling you, friend, God does know what we're doing, and He does care. And you better be glad He cares. You ought to be thankful He cares. You ought to be thankful God still knows who you are, pays attention to your world. Praise God for His intervention in our lives. How that He does care, He does make a difference. Amen. If you ever get to the place where God wants to write you off, you're in serious trouble. Serious trouble. Heard an old man when I was just a teenage preacher boy, and I don't say that to be disrespectful. He was just an old man, close to 90 years old, testify of turning the Lord away. Heartbroken, and he was convinced he could not be saved. I don't know if it's right or not. That's between him and the Lord. I do know he was convinced of it. I do know I sure would hate to be in that place, to live in this world knowing that the grave was certain and that hell lay beyond it. And to think that there would not be a thing in the world I could do about it, even by the help and grace of the Lord, because I had so often rejected the Holy Spirit.
That's
right. It's a horrible thing, friend. Jesus makes all the difference. If the Holy Ghost of God is knocking on your heart's door, you'd be crazy this morning to push Him away. You'd be irresponsible. You'd be foolish. You'd be eternally regretful to push the Lord away. Come on, sing a song for us, a verse of invitation, if you would please. But if you will have the opportunity to do so and do it and embrace and receive the Lord gladly, you'll be able to see the difference He can really make in your life. The rich young ruler came to Jesus and he asked, what must I do to have eternal life? He ran to Jesus. He came to Jesus. This modern world of religion says all you got to do is come to Jesus. Rich young ruler came to Jesus, didn't he? He gets saved. He came to Jesus. He asked questions of the Lord. What must I do to have eternal life? He kept the commandments. Matter of fact, he said he kept them all. What he said. Julia told me last night, she said he kept all of them with that part about lying. That might be right. He said he kept them all from his youth up. Jesus said, yet one thing thou lackest, go sell all that thou hast, give it to the poor. Deny thyself, take up thy cross and follow me and you'll have treasures in heaven. The Bible said Jesus loved him. That's what the Bible says. And yet in Matthew 19, verse 22, the Bible says, he went away sorrowful. When you encounter Jesus, will you walk away rejoicing or will you leave sorrowful? Will you receive Him gladly or will you turn Him away? You won't leave the same. You'll be different. The question is how? The Holy Spirit is dealing with your heart this morning. I bid you to come. Let's pray together. Seek the Lord together that you may know Him. Everybody stand with us, please. If you've never met the Lord, I'd invite you to come today and come to know Him. There is nothing as important as making sure your soul is saved. There is nothing as important as making certain your heart is right with God. I'd invite you this morning to come, save folks in the building. I'd invite you to pray. Pray. Everybody's lost. Everybody's lost. Sister Tanya, sing "When" for us when you're ready. If you need to seek the Lord this morning, these altars are open. Jesus makes all the difference. Jesus makes all the difference.
A cripple starts walking. A blind man can see. A leper is clean.
Oh Lord, have mercy.
A captive set free.
A woman is
rejoicing, for her son did not die. All these things happened when Jesus passed by. Reach out and touch Him, and He'll hear your cry. Then you'll know something happened when Jesus passed by.
Oh, be real sensitive to the Holy Spirit this morning.
Now I was a
thank you.
King became my Savior. Now His riches are mine. I became God's child when Jesus passed by. When Jesus passed by. When Jesus passed by. Gone were all the heartaches, the troubles and strife. Just reach out and touch Him, and He'll hear your cry. Then you'll know something happened when Jesus passed by.
He makes all the difference in the world, doesn't He? Hallelujah.